بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ma'ashir al-Ikhwa, it gives me great pleasure to visit this blessed masjid, a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can sit with each other for a short amount of time and try to increase our iman and remind ourselves about the objective, the true objective behind our life. Ma'ashir al-Ikhwa, every single one of us in this dunya, we do everything which we can in order to prepare for the future. So we go to school and we send our children to school. Why? Because we are preparing for the future. You see a student working hard, revising for the exams. Why are you spending so many hours revising and working hard? I am preparing for the future. You see a young person working many hours, saving his money for when he wants to get married. Why are you saving this money? Because I want to prepare for the future. You see a person and he works 35, 40 hours in a day. And he works so his wage can be 25, 30, 35,000 pounds a year. He only needs 10 or 15,000 to live off. And yet he works all those hours to earn all the extra. Why are you working so many hours for all of that wage and yet you only need a half of it to live? Because I'm preparing for the future. I want to buy a house. I want to be comfortable when I grow older. I want to be independent from the other people. Some people, whilst they're young, they spend hours in the gym and eating certain types of food and not eating foods which they enjoy. Why are you staying away from foods which you enjoy and you want to eat? Because I'm preparing for the future. Because I want to have good health when I grow older. And this preparation for the future, this is intelligence. It's good that a person educates and works hard and prepares his career and prepares for his children and saves for a house and saves for his child and weddings. This is something we say is aqal, it's intelligent for a person to prepare for his future. However, all of these matters which I have just mentioned, all of them are possibilities and probabilities. So that wedding that you're preparing for, the career that you're sending your child to school to educate for, the house that you're trying to save for, that health when you grow older, all of these matters are from the possibilities and the probabilities. Meaning maybe you will graduate, maybe you will not graduate from university. Maybe you will reach that job and have that career, maybe you will not have that job and that career. Maybe you will marry, maybe you will not marry. And in life, Ma'ashir al-Ikhwa, there's two types of occurrences. There are the probabilities and the possibilities, and then there are the certainties. And everything in life is a probability and a possibility. And the only certainty in life is death. This is the only certainty which we have. Everything else is a probability. Meaning, from the moment your mother gives birth to you and you come to this world, everything else remains a probability. And the only certainty with yaqeen is that just as you came into this world, you will also leave the world. In fact, even before birth, you being born, even that's only a probability. From the moment that the angel blows the soul, the ruh, into you, whilst you're still in the womb of your mother, from that moment onwards, everything else is a probability. Even you being born is only a probability. The only certainty is that just as the soul was born, blown into you, there will be a time in which the soul will be taken out from you. So everything else is mumkin, maybe, perhaps, possible, probable. And death is yaqeen. And this is what Allah mentioned in the Quran, in the ayat which all of you have memorized. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste death. Aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyada. Allah said, wherever you may be on the earth, with certainty the death will reach you. Even if you are in castles and houses which are fortified and protected and strong structures, but the yaqeen is that death will reach you. And therefore, is it from intelligence that we make all that preparation for the probabilities and the possibilities? And yet the one certainty that we have in life, that's the one thing that we don't prepare for. Is that intelligence? Is that logical? Does it make sense? All that striving and all that saving and all that preparing for things which are only possibilities and probabilities. And the one thing which is yaqeen, death. For this one, the majority of the people, they are negligent. And in life, if you saw a person preparing for something which was a possibility and ignoring something which was a certainty, you say you're not a very intelligent person. That you're sacrificing the certainty and you're concentrating on the possibility and the probability. You're not a very intelligent person. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he compared the person who is intelligent and the person who is not intelligent. He said, Al-kayyis man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. He said, Al-kayyis ay al-aqil, that the intelligent person is the one who holds himself to account. Wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. And he works for that which is after death. And then he said, wal ajiz. And as for the ajiz, the weak person, the foolish person, the one who isn't intelligent, he said, man atba'a nafsahu hawaha, is the one who allows his soul and himself just to follow his desires, just to prepare for the possibilities, not thinking about that which is the yaqeen, that which is the certainty. So these possibilities and these probabilities which we spend so many years and so much effort preparing for, it relates to the dunya which is short and temporary. And that yaqeen which we are neglecting, death, it relates to the akhirah, which is eternal. And this is now a second type of foolishness, that a person sacrifices that which is long-term and eternal for something which is only short and temporary. In the Quran, all of you will have read ayat which contain these three words, hum fiha khalidun, or khalidan fiha, or khalidina fiha, sometimes abada. These words, they come over and go over again in the Quran, hum fiha khalidun. If you think about those ayat, the meaning of hum fiha khalidun is they will remain in it for eternity, forever. These three words are only mentioned when it comes to Jannah and Jahannam. Allah speaks about the people of Jannah, He says hum fiha khalidun, they will remain in it forever. He speaks about Jahannam, khalidan fihi abada, fiha abada, khalidina fiha. These words are never mentioned when it comes to the dunya. Because the dunya is only short and temporary. And the akhirah is that which is eternal. It is death which is certain. And you should also know, ayyuhul ikhwa, that death isn't far away from a person. What is death? Death is only one breath. That's it. The last breath and then there's death. Death is only the soul being removed. Death is only people saying Fulan marhum. And that's it. Death is only four takbirat. This is death. So Jannah is close to the people of Jannah. And Jahannam is close to the people of Jahannam. Because between Jannah and its people is just Fulan marhum, rahimahullah. And between Jahannam and its people is just that last breath. And therefore, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-kayyis man dana nafsahu, that the intelligent person is the one who holds himself to account. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and he invests in that which is after death. He works now and he sacrifices now for that which will occur in the Akhirah. And Allah said, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتِ, and no soul knows in which earth it will die, which land it will die. And before that Allah said, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى, and no person knows what it will earn tomorrow. And so the kayyis, the intelligent person, he rather sacrifice this temporary life and this short-term life for the benefit of the akhirah. But don't sacrifice the akhirah for this dunya. And also we should know, ayyuhul ikhwa, that death, it doesn't seek a person's permission. Death doesn't respect a person. Death doesn't respect a healthy person, or a young person, or a rich person. Death doesn't think that Fulan is rich, so I'll leave him for a while. I'll go to the one who is poor. Or Fulan is healthy, so I won't take him. I'll go to the one who is ill. Or Fulan is young, I'll leave him. I'll go to the one who is old. No. Death doesn't seek permission. The opposite of death is birth. And in birth, there's a sequence. So if, for example, in a family, you have a grandfather and you have a father, you have a son and a grandchild. When it comes to birth, there's a clear sequence. The first one to be born will be the grandfather. Then the next will be the father. Then the child. Then the grandchild. Clear sequence. But in death, there's no sequence. How many times has the grandfather buried his own son? And the father buried his own grandchild? And the son buried his father? And also, death doesn't only come to those who are ill. Even those who are healthy, and those who are young and strong, and they're taken as well. And this is why the poet, he said, وَكَمْ مِنْ صَحِيحٍ مَاتَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِلَّةٍ وَكَمْ مِنْ سَقِيمٍ عَاشَ حِينًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. How many healthy, strong, well people die without any illness? And how many ill people live for a long time? And they live for a long time. And this is why it's foolishness for a person to say that when I'm 40, I'll start preparing. When I'm a bit older, I'll start preparing. When I've paid my mortgage off from the bank, na'udhu billah, I'll start preparing. As I said, death doesn't wait for you. Death will not say that when you're 40, when you've graduated, when you've paid your house off, when you're married. No. This line of poetry, كَمْ مِنْ صَحِيحٍ مَاتَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِلَّةٍ, how many healthy people die without an illness? وَكَمْ مِنْ سَقِيمٍ عَاشَ حِينَ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ, and how many ill people live a long time? This verse of poetry was said by Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. And Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, he has a piece of poetry, about 6 or 7 couplets, in which he talks about death. And he reminds the people about the reality of death. He said in this piece of poetry, عَلَيْكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتَ غَافِلًا. That upon you is the taqwa of Allah if you are negligent and forgetful. يَأْتِيكَ بِالْأَرْزَاقِ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَدْرِي. And if you have the taqwa of Allah, then He will bring your rizq to you from places that you do not know. And then he said, فَكَيْفَ تَخَافُ الْفَقْرَ وَاللَّهُ رَازِقُ. How do you fear poverty? And Allah is al-raziq. Allah is the one who sustains, and He provides, and He guarantees. قَدْ رَزَقَ الطَّيْرَ وَالْحُوتَ فِي الْبَحْرِ. He has provided for the birds, and he has provided for the fish in the ocean. فَلَوْ كَانَ الرِّزْقُ يَأْتِي بِقُوَّةٍ. If rizq was based upon your strength and your ability, and that only the strong, they have a rizq, he said, مَا أَكَلَ الْعُصْفُورُ شَيْءٍ مَعَ النَّسْرِ. Then, the sparrow, which is the bird which is weak and small, would not eat like the eagle also eats. The eagle who is strong and powerful eats. And also the sparrow who is weak and small eats. Meaning that a person's rizq is not attached to his own strength. Rather, Allah is al-raziq. He provides and He sustains. So upon you is at-taqwa, and upon Allah is the sustenance and the provisions. He said, تَزَوَّدْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي. He said, take your provisions in this dunya because you do not know. إِذَا جَنَّ اللَّيْلُ هَلْ تَعِيشُ إِلَى الدَّهْرِ or إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. That if the night becomes dark, will you live until Fajr? He said that in this dunya, take your provisions. The meaning of provisions is taqwa and righteous actions. Take it in the daytime. Because when the night becomes dark, nobody here can guarantee that when Fajr comes, will you be alive or will you have left the world? And then he said, فَكَمْ مِنْ صَحِيحٍ مَاتَ مِنْ غَيْرِ عِلَّةٍ. How many healthy people, they have died without any illness. وَكَمْ مِنْ سَقِيمٍ عَاشَ حِينَ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. And how many ill people have lived a long time. وَكَمْ مِنْ فَتَى أَمْسَى وَأَصْبَحَ ضَاحِكَ. And how many young people, in the morning and in the evening, they are smiling and joking and laughing. وَقَدْ نُسِجَتْ أَكْفَانُهُ فِي الْغَيْبِ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي. And yet, his shroud is being prepared. And yet he hasn't realized. وَكَمْ مِنْ عُرُوسٍ زَيَّنُوهَا يَوْمَ الْعُرْسِ. And how many brides or people beautifying and adorning and putting a jewelry on her for the wedding day. وَقَدْ زَفَّتْ رُوحُهَا لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. And yet her soul has already departed the night of the wedding. In this beautiful piece of poetry, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimullah, he clarified the reality of death. As I said, death isn't restricted to a person who is ill. And death won't wait for that young person to grow old. And death doesn't seek permission from the bride and the groom until they have consummated their marriage. When Allah writes for a person that his time has come, then his time has come. So, Jannah is close to its people. Because between Jannah and its people is only death. And also the fire is close to its people. Because between fire and its people is only death. And as you know, there is Yawm al-Qiyamah. And there is Sa'ah and Qiyam al-Sa'ah, the establishment of the hour and the day of resurrection. However, the ulama mention that there isn't only one hour. Rather, there are 2 hours. As-sa'at al-kubra wa sa'at al-sughra. There is the major hour, the Yawm al-Qiyamah, but then there is another hour, and this is the minor hour, and this is a person's death. So when your minor hour is established, then your major hour has established as well. Your Yawm al-Qiyamah has started. Your accountability has started. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the major hour, He gave signs and indicators. And they are called Ashratu Sa'a. Like you know, before Yawm al-Qiyamah is Dajjal, the descending of Isa alayhi salam, the coming of Mahdi, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, and other signs which will occur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the major hour, He gave us signs and indicators. But for the minor hour, i.e. death, there's no sign and there's no indicator. It comes whenever Allah decides that it will come. And He doesn't wait for a person to prepare for it. So therefore, as Muslims, we shouldn't just be waiting for the major hour. Rather, our main focus should be on the minor hour. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had a freed slave whose name was Hani. Hani, Mawla Uthman. Hani, the freed slave of Uthman. And Hani, he narrates, كان عثمان ابن عفان رضي الله عنه إذا وقف عند القبر بكى. That Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه, whenever he would come to a grave, he would cry and weep. And he would weep until his beard becomes wet. The people, they used to say to him, how strange. They said, تذكر الجنة ولا تبكي. Jannah is mentioned and you don't weep. Jahannam is mentioned and you don't weep. And yet when you come to a grave, then you start crying. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. Verily, I heard the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ say, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ أَوَّلَ مَنَازِلُ الْآخِرَةِ. That the grave is the first step of the Akhirah. فَمَنْ نَجَى مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَيْسَرُ. So whoever succeeds from the fitna of the grave, then everything else will be easier for him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَنْجُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَشَدُ. And whoever isn't saved from the punishment of the grave, then everything after that will be even more severe upon him. So before our preparation for Yawm al-Qiyamah and the major hour, is our preparation for the minor hour. And that minor hour for which there is no sign and no indicator and no permission is the death of a person. And therefore, Ma'ashir al-Ikhwa, how should we view our existence upon this earth? How should we view our life and our existence upon this earth? First of all, we should know that this world to a believer is like a journey. It's like a pit stop whilst you're on a long journey. So your stay in this world is that pit stop. It's that road. But your destination is the Akhirah. And again, only a person who is unintelligent focuses all his preparation on the pit stop, but the actual destination he's negligent over. It doesn't make sense. Like for example, I've come from my town Nelson and I've come to Middlesbrough. I know that I'm only here for the next 1 or 2 hours and then I am leaving. So is it intelligent for me whilst I'm in Middlesbrough for these 1 or 2 hours that I spend a lot of money and I make so many preparations and I make so many investments? No, because I'm only here for 1 or 2 hours. So I might buy some food, I might buy some drink, some refreshments, maybe some clothing, which is enough to last me for the journey. But all of my preparation investment is going to be in my destination. And like that, the dunya and the akhirah. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't have anything in the dunya. Neither does it mean that we shouldn't have a career or that we shouldn't focus on the dunya. This isn't the meaning behind this. From the Sahaba, alayhim ridwanullah, were those who were very wealthy and very successful. Uthman radiallahu anhu, the same one who used to weep at the grave, was a rich companion. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was wealthy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, especially before Islam, was wealthy. There were great imams who came after them, who were rich and wealthy. But what we don't do is sacrifice the akhirah for the dunya. And this is what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to say. Kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib aw aabira sabilin. Be in this dunya as if you are a stranger. Or be in this dunya as if you are merely on a journey. Whilst you're on this journey, invest and take what you need. But you have to remember the destination is the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave a beautiful example of his own self. He said, the example of me and this dunya, كَمَثَلِ الرَّاكِبِ, is like a person who is riding an animal. فِي يَوْمٍ صَائِفِ, on a day in which it is very, very warm. نَامَ فِي ظِلِّ شَجَرَةٍ, and this traveler, on this warm day, he dismounted his animal, and he sat under a tree, or he slept under the shade of a tree. ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا, and then when he had gained his strength, he got up and he left. And this is the example which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave for himself and the dunya. Just that small rest under the shade of the tree is like the Prophet in this dunya. And then he got up and he left. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he fulfilled his mission and Islam had spread and the idols were destroyed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُّ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah comes and the conquering eye of Makkah comes, then the job of the Prophet was finished. This blessed surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُّ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when the victory of Allah will come and the conquest, i.e. the conquest of Makkah. And also the ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, on this day I've perfected and completed your religion for you. When these ayat were revealed, the companions, they were rejoicing and smiling and laughing. Why? Because the victory of Allah has come and Islam has now gained authority and the religion has been fulfilled and completed and perfected. So the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, they rejoiced and they were laughing and celebrating. Except Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wept and he cried. So the Sahaba said to him, Subhanallah, Allah is giving us the glad tiding of victory and conquest and the perfection of this religion, and you're weeping and crying. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understood that these ayat, they symbolize the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once the job is complete and the religion is fulfilled, he has no more reason to stay upon the earth. And this is why he gave this beautiful example. So this is the first way we should view our existence upon this earth, just on a journey. Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah from the Tabi'een, he said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامْ. He said, O son of Adam, you are only days. Meaning your existence upon this earth, it is only a number of days. إِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمُكَ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ. And if one of your day goes by, then some of your existence has also left you. Meaning, yesterday, Saturday, it came and it went. Some of your existence went with it. Today, the majority of the day has gone. Some of your existence has also gone. يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامْ. O son of Adam, your existence upon this earth is only a number of days. إِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمُكَ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ. If some of your days go, then also some of your existence, it also leaves. The second way in which we should view our life and our outlook should be upon this dunya as Muslims, as people of Iman, who believe in al-Imanu bil-Yawm al-Akhir, that this life, it is Darul Imtihan. That this life is the abode of the test, of the exam. Allah's places upon this earth in order to test us. Allah gives us wealth and goodness to test us. Allah gives us sometimes poverty and illness and weakness to test us. All of it is a test. He said, Jalla sha'nuhu, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test you. Who is best in action? Allah said in the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah had willed, He would have made all of you a single ummah. Meaning nobody is richer than the other. Nobody is stronger than the other. Nobody has this skill more than the other. Everybody would be the same, had Allah wanted. And then He said, وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. But to test you in that which He has given you. He made this one rich and this one poor. He is testing the one who is rich in his wealth, and He is testing the one who is poor in his poverty. He made this one strong and this one weak. He is testing the strong one in his strength, and He is testing the weak one in his weakness. This word, when we find it in the Quran, fitna and imtihan, we straightaway think that it refers to the bad things, the difficulties. Somebody goes through a divorce, somebody goes through an illness, we say, Ya akhi, it's a fitna. My brother, this is a test from Allah. Be patient upon the test from Allah. But what we have to understand is that in the Quran, the word fitna, it doesn't only come referring to the difficulties. It also comes referring to the luxuries and the wealth. So don't only think that poverty is a test. Just as poverty is a test, wealth is also a test. And perhaps, and Allah knows best, perhaps, the punishment for the person who fails the test when he has wealth may be more severe than a person who had poverty and Allah tested him with his poverty. Insecurity and danger is a fitna, but also security is a fitna. Some of the brothers who are here from outside of England, your families and the countries which you have come from, the wars which are happening, that's the test for the people who are there. Do they have sabr? Do they have iman? But we shouldn't think that just because we're in this country now and there's safety and security, that there's no fitna. This is also fitna. Allah is also testing us. I tested you with poverty, now I'll test you with wealth. When you were poor, you were close to me. You used to make dua to me. Now I'll test you with wealth. And let's see how you act. When you were single, when you weren't married, when you didn't have a job, when you didn't have children, you were always coming to the masjid. You were always reading the Quran. Now I'll test you with some wealth. Now I'll test you with a job, with an education, with wife, with children. Now we'll see. Do you still come to the masjid? Or now have you left the masjid? I'm busy. I've got married. You failed the second test. And this dunya, this is where the test takes place. And where is the result of the test? Not in this dunya. The akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed us the path of goodness. And He also showed us the path of evil. And Allah subhanahu, He gave us a choice and a will. If you want to do the good, do good. If you want to do the evil, the choice is yours. Do the evil. But then in the hereafter is the result of this test. If you did goodness, then this is your reward. And if you did evil, then this is your recompense. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, اِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرًا. This dunya, it has taken its journey, it started on its journey, but it is going away from you. وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةِ مُقْبِلَةِ. And the akhirah has also started its journey, but it is coming towards you. The dunya has begun its journey, but it is running away from you. The akhirah has begun its journey, but it is coming towards you. He said, radiallahu anhu, وَلِكُلِّ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ. And each one of them have children. They are children of the dunya, and there are children of the akhirah. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. So be from the children of the akhirah, don't be from the children of the dunya. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ بِلَا حِسَابٍ. Today, there is an opportunity for you to do actions, and there is no hisab, no questioning, No accountability, no reward, no punishment, just an opportunity. You want to do good? Do good. You want to earn halal? Earn halal. You want to do evil? Do evil. You want to earn haram and spend haram and follow your desires? Do it. Then he said, وَلَكِنَ الْغَدْ حِسَابٌ بِلَا عَمَلٍ. However, tomorrow, there's only accountability. There's only a question. There's no more actions. There's no more opportunity. There's no more, ya layta, if only, if only. I wish I could go back. I wish I had the opportunity. And this is why we have to seize the opportunity today, because tomorrow there's only questioning. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, He reminded us to prepare for tomorrow. Because tomorrow is the accountability, today are the actions. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. He said, O people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah and prepare for that which is tomorrow. Tomorrow, i.e. the Akhirah. And so now we come to the main point behind this reminder. The person who wants to invest in the Akhirah, the one who is intelligent, the investor, he should be asking now, tell me about those actions which I can invest with the least amount of risk and the greatest amount of return. This is what every intelligent investor wants. I want to invest the least amount of money and the least amount of effort with the least amount of risk, but at the same time, I want the greatest return which I can have. And these actions which will give you such a great return, Allah mentioned them in the Quran. And He called them al-baqiyatu salihat. Those actions which are righteous and they will remain forever for eternity. Al-baqiyatu salihat. And Allah mentioned al-baqiyatu salihat in two ayat in the Quran. In one ayah, which we recite every Friday in Surah Al-Kahf, He said, Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Children, offspring, and wealth, property, money, this is zinatul hayati dunya. This is the beautification of the life of this world. And then He said, wal-baqiyatu salihat. However, the righteous actions which will remain forever, خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. It is better with your Lord in terms of reward. Meaning that these baqiyatu salihat are more rewarding than offspring and children and houses and cars and property and wealth. This is the first ayah. Then in the second ayah, Allah said, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى. Allah increases those people who sought guidance in guidance. And then He said, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا. And as for the baqiyatu salihat, they are better with your Lord in terms of reward. What are the baqiyatu salihat? What are these great actions which are better than you, or better for you than wealth and children and money and property? What are these baqiyatu salihat? Small effort, small investment, least risk, yet the greatest amount of reward. The ulama, they mentioned that the baqiyatu salihat, these enormous actions, they are only saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. That's it. And they are baqiyatu salihat. They are those actions which are better than you, min al-mal wal-banun, children and wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he was with his companions, and he said, خُذُوا جُنَّتَكُمْ. Take your shield. The companion said, يَا رَسُولَ مَنِ الْعُدُوُ. O Messenger of Allah, where's the enemy? Why do you need to take our shield? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا خُذُوا جُنَّتَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said, no. Take your shield from the fire. And then he said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Just these four statements. And then he said, فَإِنَّهَا يَأْتِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُنْجِيَاتِ مُقَدِّمَاتِ وَهُنَّ الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. He said, verily, these four words will come on يوم القيامة, and they are munjiyat. Munjiyat meaning a safety, i.e. a safety from the fire. وَمُقَدِّمَات, and they are an advancement, meaning they advance you to the akhirah. وَهُنَّ الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they are the بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, which are mentioned in that ayah. Just words. Just subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. Least amount of investment, least amount of risk, least amount of effort, yet such a great return. But if you say subhanallah and alhamdulillah, la ilaha wallahu akbar, with tawheed, with iman, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I end this reminder with two actions which will benefit us a lot in the akhirah, and also we can relate to these two actions. Two actions which will benefit us in the hereafter, and they apply to us. We can relate to them. The first of these two actions is knowledge and ad-da'wah. Knowledge, learning, seeking knowledge, and then calling the people to goodness. And when I say da'wah, I'm not talking about that you have to give a lecture, you have to give a khutbah, you have to give a lesson in fiqh. Any type of da'wah, any type of goodness, any type of guidance which you give to another person. Just a reminder about the salah. A hadith which you send via a text message. Any type of da'wah. And the reason why this is such a great reward, because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ, whoever calls another person to guidance, كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلَ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ, that his reward will be equal to the one who did that action. Meaning, let's say you taught, for example, your son Surah Al-Fatiha. Every time your son recites Surah Al-Fatiha, you will get the reward just as he is getting the reward for reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is why I find it so strange and so sad that we send our children to the imam for the imam to teach him Surah Al-Fatiha. You want the imam to have the reward for your child reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? It doesn't make sense. Surely you should say that I'm going to teach my child Surah Al-Fatiha. I want the honor of teaching him. I want the reward of teaching him. Not the imam of the masjid. Why give him to somebody else? Why give this great avenue of reward to somebody else? And also, giving da'wah to a non-Muslim. Such a great blessing. Because if somebody accepts Islam at your hands by the permission and the guidance of Allah, then after that, any good action that that person did, then for you is also that reward. As if you're also doing the good action. Meaning, you could be at home and you're talking to your wife, or you're eating food, or you're playing with your children, or you're socializing with your parents, and somebody's reciting that Surah Al-Fatiha which you taught him, or doing that hadith which you followed him by text, and it's being written for you. You don't even realize that I'm getting all these good rewards. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-'abda liyukallimu bikalimatin min ridwanillah," that a person, he says a good word which pleases Allah, ثُمَّ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا, and then he gives this word no attention. He forgets about what he said. And then the Prophet said, يَرْفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and yet Allah will increase his rank in Jannah because of that word which he said. And he gave it no importance. And this is, like I said, even sending a text message. A text message which you forward with an ayah or with a hadith, or advertising a lecture. And then you're at home and you're sitting with your wife, you're playing with your children, you're talking to your parents, and then everybody who implements that hadith, that text message, you're also getting the reward for it. And this is why in Islam, the ulama and the du'at, they have such a great status in Islam, because of the goodness which they give to the rest of the community. There's a ruler who some of you will have heard of called Harun al-Rashid. And Harun al-Rashid was one of the rulers from the Abbasi Khilafah, perhaps the fourth or fifth Khalifa from the Abbasi Empire. Great, vast empire. So many countries that entered into Islam. He came to a person called Yahya ibn Aktham. And he said to him, مَا أَمْبَلُ الْمَرَاتِبِ He said, Oh Yahya, what is the greatest status that a person can attain? And this man said to him, مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ That the greatest position or status that a person can attain is the status which you have. That you are Khalifa of the whole Muslim world. So many countries under your command. Armies at your disposal. So much wealth and the palaces and the houses which you live in. He said to him, فَتَعْرِفُ أَجَلَّ مِنِّي Do you know anybody who has a greater status than me? The man said, لَا Nobody better than you, يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُنِ يَا خَلِيفَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ He said, لَكِنِّي أَعْرِفُهُ He said, however, I know somebody who is higher than me. Who? He said, رَجُلٌ فِي حَلَقَةٍ He said, a man who sits in a circle. وَيَقُولُ حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانَ عَنْ فُلَانَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ And he says that so-and-so narrated upon the authority of so-and-so that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aitha alim. The man Yahya ibn Akhtham, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Chief of the Believers, هذا خير منك, this man is better than you. وَأَنْتَ إِبْنُ عَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ And you're from the descendants of the Messenger of Allah because the Abbasiyun, they were from the descendants of Abdullah ibn al-Abbas. And al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he said that this man who sits in a circle, in a small masjid, and he says, حَدَّثَنَا وَحَدَّثَنَا This is halal and this is haram, and this is fiqh and this is aqeedah. This person is better than you. And you are from the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَوَلِيُّ أَهْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And you are the chief of the believers, the leader of the believers. This person is better than you. And he replied to him, he said, Na'am, yes. هذا خير مني. He is better than me. Why? لِأَنَّ اسْمُهُ لَا يَمُوت Because this person, his name will not die. وَنَحْنُ نَمُوت However, we will die. Meaning, the alim, even after he dies, he lives on. And the traders and the businessmen and the millionaires and the billionaires and the khulafa and the umara, once they die, they have died. And I'll prove this by asking a simple question. If I said to you, put your hand up if you have heard of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And I think maybe 98% here, maybe a small child. Everybody else has heard of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And then I say to you, put up your hand if you know the name of the greatest Khalifa who is alive at his time. Nobody knows, nobody remembers. Maybe if there's a historian amongst you, one or two people apart from that, nobody knows. Up until this day, we say Al-Imam Ahmad said, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. Radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. Jazahullahu khaira, may Allah reward him. The Khalifa of the Muslims at that time, no mention. If I said to you, put your hands up if you heard of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, and Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and al-Nawawi, and Ibn Taymiyyah, and. Everybody will put their hands up. If I said to you, mention to me the ruler of their time, nobody knows. The greatest billionaire of their time, nobody knows. Why? Because the du'at and the ulama, when they die, they carry on living. And the khulafa and the traders and the billionaires, they die when they die. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, مَاتَ خُزَّانُ الْأَمْوَالِ وَهُمْ أَحْيَا That those who are hoarding and collecting wealth, and that's the only thing which they have, they have died even when they are living. وَالْعُلَمَا بَاقُونَ مَا بَقِيَ الدَّهَرِ But the ulama and the du'at, they live as long as time remains. As long as time remains upon this earth, people will continue saying that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, and Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, this is his fatwa. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he narrated this hadith in his sahih. And as for the traders and the businessmen, and that's the only thing which they have, they are dead even when they are living. Nobody mentions them. So that was the first matter. The second matter, and I concluded with this, one of the greatest avenue of reward are your children. And giving tarbiyah to your children. They're like your storage after you have left. They're like that seed which you have sowed, and the tree which keeps giving its fruits and you have departed the earth. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدِ إِنْقَطَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا ثَلَاثٍ Whenever a person dies, all of his actions stop except three. And then from one of the three, he said, وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ, a righteous child who makes dua for him. So these children, your sons and daughters, they're in front of you. They are in your hand. And therefore, invest in them and give them the correct tarbiyah and teach them that when I die, make dua for me and your reward will carry on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَتُرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتُهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that in Jannah, a person's rank will be increased and increased. And the person will say, يَا رَبْ أَنِّي لِهَذَا, you say, oh my Lord, where's all this come from? I didn't do that many good actions. How come my ranks are being increased? فَيُقَالُ لَهُ, so it will be said to him, بِاسْتِغْفَارِ وَلَدِكَ لَكَ, because of the istighfar that your son made for you after you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq and guidance. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan salihan wa rizqan tayyiba. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-ikhlas في القول والعمل اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشائخنا وللمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.